Welcome to Shalom Ariel as we continue our study in the book of Revelation with Messianic leader Jacques Isaac Gabizon. Today the pastor will continue to explore the mystery behind the veil. The curtain rises so that we may peer into heaven's throne room and find assurance of God's loving care. And that assurance is confirmed by how close he makes us to himself. We, being made in the image of God, find ourselves very close to the Lord. So close that when we will be with him in heaven, we will find ourselves sitting on the throne with Messiah. That's what it says in Revelation 3:21. To the one who is victorious, to the overcomer, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. How amazing is that? Maybe the apex of our spiritual experience. We will not be on the right side or on the left side like the mother of James and John asked Yeshua about. Can my sons sit there? To each overcomer is offered that place that shows the nearness that we will experience with the Messiah. But there's something else as well. We are going to share the glory with the Messiah, now and in heaven as well. This glory on earth has a great purpose, that while we are here, we are to be one, just as the Father and the Son are one. So with that same oneness that we experience with the Messiah, let us work towards honoring God's desires, giving glory to that mandate that he says we are to love one another. And that might mean getting off our self-appointed throne to give somebody else a seat. Be blessed as you listen into today's program on the Book of Revelation with Messianic leader Jacques Isaac Gabizon. Shalom, shalom.
Now, putting all these things together about the 24 elders, we can make a brief summary. The 24 elders are priests who sit on the throne wearing white robes and a golden crown. They can only be believers, for angels don't sit on thrones. And we're never told that they were given golden crowns. The first three verses of Revelation 4 are like a window to heaven, a glimpse of the afterlife for those who believe. This is a great news for believers again today. It's really something to look forward to every single day, even all through the day. You know, in the early centuries, this truth was always present with the believers. Even their congregation was built with the worshipper always facing east. They faced east because the believers were supposed to look in that direction, for it is written that Yeshua will return from the east. So they didn't want to miss a fraction of a second. It says in Matthew 24:7, for as lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Well, this is second coming. I believe the rapture may be in the same way, same direction. So like it is for us, our expectation, our hope is the coming of the Lord who will take us up as John was caught up there to be with the Lord forever and ever. Now, all these things are told in the first four verses of Revelation, but as soon as you read verse 5, the scene changes. And there begins the preparation for the beginning of the tribulation. By now, John and ourselves are very well equipped to see and face these things, for since the first chapter, we've been so blessed with great revelation of the Messiah. And as Paul says, if God is for us, who can be against us? So, see how these things drastically change. Let's read verses 5 and 6 of Revelation 4. Out of the throne came flashes of lightning and sounds of peals of thunder, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was something like a sea of glass, like crystal, and in the center and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. Now the soothing colors which are reserved for the believers are replaced by what? Lightning and thunder. This may remind us of the event at Sinai when God came down on the mountain. And it was with thunder and lightning, as it's written in Exodus 19. And it was flashes of thick cloud upon the mountain. And the Jewish people were so scared. And it reminds us of the very moment, the second coming, right? When Jesus will come in Matthew 24. There will be also thunder and lightning. And see verse 6. For even then there is great awesome beauty. See what is before the throne of God. A sea of glass like crystal. Why is it there? What does this represent, and why are we told of the sea of glass right now and not before? The sea of glass, like crystal, speaks of one great facet of our God, His holiness. A holiness which cannot tolerate sin. A holiness which requires that all evil must be put away, and this is the beginning of this time. And the holiness of God is something that the Mosaic Law is immersed in. The corresponding item in the temple was that exceedingly large laver just before the entrance of the holy place. You cannot just enter it like this. It was a huge, and it was one item for which there was no dimension. It was as large as necessary, because sanctification never stops. It was a place of cleansing before the priest could perform any task, and especially before they could enter the presence of God. It was a constant washing and purification. When Solomon built the laver, you know, it's so interesting to see that he actually called it sea. A sea to describe the laver. Chaim Mozak, a sea of cast copper. Surely relating to the sea of glass in the original plant that his father had. The rabbis explained that it was called the sea because of a huge size, but another prophet have seen it as well, and he describes it. Ezekiel, who was also carried to heaven at his arrival, he saw something of the same magnitude, and he describes it in Ezekiel 1:22. If you remember Ezekiel, he goes up with the wheel and so on. He says, now over the heads of the living beings, he saw the same living beings, there was something like an expanse, like the awesome gleam of crystal spread over their heads. Ezekiel adds to our perspective here. In Revelation, we're told that it is before the throne. They were before the throne. And the spirit in Ezekiel tells us it is above the angel. And this is just like it was when the Holy of Holies, where the two cherubims were bowing down towards the Ark of the Covenant, which represents God's footrest. Furthermore, in both Ezekiel and Revelation, it is crystal. Like the description in Revelation. But what color is crystal? The Targum on Ezekiel translates this scene as a mighty ice field inclined towards the heads from above. Okay, they saw it as white as ice. Kera in Hebrew for crystal. It is also the same word for ice or snow in the Bible. And so the sea is also white, pure white, representing the holiness of God. And soon we will see that holiness is one fundamental characteristic that the angel proclaimed to God in heaven over and over. Now, putting the emphasis on holiness in the Mosaic Law and in heaven, the least we can say is that it is one thing we out personally ourselves strive in our lives. For without it, it is difficult to approach God. It is written, right, in Hebrews 12:14, without holiness, no one shall see the Lord. Not see with your eyes. I believe he's speaking of any relationship you may have with God. Here we see the sea separating the throne of God from the rest as the laver stood right in front of the door leading to the presence of God. So is holiness in between man and God. Holy, then, is what the Lord is who the Lord is. We can see God's holiness related more to his nature than it is an attribute. Holiness could be seen as the sum, if you want, of all his attributes, like what white is of all the colors. Holiness is man is translated as the sum of all the aspects of believing life. So this word comes from two words, by the way, holiness. The adjective is aches in Greek, meaning clean, and the verb hazo has the sense to shrink from, like to shrink from sin. And holiness is one name given to all believers in the New Testament. You know what we are called in the New Testament? Saints. Hagios, which means the holy ones. This is how heaven actually sees us. So this holiness is what distinguishes the believers from the world. Now, the same color of holiness, white, you know that Moses saw it in Exodus 24:10. When he actually met God. When Moses, with his brother and two nephews and the 70 elders, went up to see God on Mount Sinai, you know, I think they were carried much higher than the mountain. Okay, see what it says. And so they saw the God of Israel, and under his feet were appeared to be a pavement of sapphire as clear as the sky itself. You know, we have two colors there. The word for pavement, livna, comes from the word laban, which means white, white. We should really read that they saw the God of Israel, and under his feet there appeared to be a white with sapphire, right? Clear as the sky itself. And this other color, another hue with the white is what? Blue, sapphire, because it says, like the sky itself, it must be of a beautiful light blue, a hue of light blue. Remember that the tassels were to be made in blue, so to remind the person always of the presence of God. But there is one more thing we did not look at yet in Revelation 4:5, the second part. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Here's another occurrence of the number seven, which is the number of complete spiritual perfection. Here the Spirit of God is in his fullness as God on the throne through the seven colors of the rainbow, and the seven colors in the white are seen. And when we get there, where we can really learn God even more, but it is this revelation of God which brings the angels to always and always repeat the same thing. This is when we come to a great passage of Revelation 4, where we see a description of these angels and what they say in heaven. This is great, by the way. Look at verse 7 and 8. And the first creature was like a lion, and the second creature was like a calf, and the third creature had a face like that of a man, and the fourth creature was like a flying eagle. And the four living beings, each one of them had six wings, are full of eyes around and within. And day and night they do not cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is to come." No wonder that they say, "Holy, holy," after seeing the goodness of God appearing in white to the redeemed and seeing this immense sea of glass, pure white, around and above them. And so they proclaim his holiness. But let's start at the beginning and see what these eternal partners of ours are like, because we're going to meet them too, by the way. We are first told that they are so near to God that they have eyes in front and behind. Twice, by the way, verse 6 and verse 8. So it must be important. These many eyes suggest what? Their watchfulness, their awareness of things that are going on in heaven and I'm sure on earth as well. Perhaps these angels are representative of those many angels Yeshua referring to when he said, speaking of our brothers and sisters in the Lord, he says, "Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the Father, the face of my Father who is in heaven." Matthew 18:10. Okay, if a simple gossip about a brother or sister goes up as high as the scene that John is describing for us in heaven, I think we better weigh our words that comes out of our mouth, right? And see how John sees them. We are told in verse 7 that the first creature was what? Like a lion. The second like a calf. The other one like a man. And the other one like a flying eagle. One like a lion, calf, man, eagle. Now don't let your imagination interpret this verse. It will mislead you. John does not say that they are lion, calf, man, or eagle, but they are like them, okay? The Greek is homoiosis, right? Where we get the word homogeneous, meaning that they are comparable of the same kind. So what characteristic make up this similarity? What John must have seen is a reflection of the master Yeshua on his subject, as we need to hear about this. First, in the overall, what emerges out in this description is complete obedience and recognition of the sovereignty and the power of God. Again, we need to hear this. Why? These are angels. These are the good ones, the most powerful ones. History is reversing itself for us to get a good picture of what is right and just. It reversed from the rebellion of the fallen angel at the beginning when sin began, started. But here we see this glorious one subservient to the Lord. And furthermore, we see indeed here about destructive demons. We're going to later on in there. But we should know that there exist more powerful forces that will subdue these evil legions. But how are these four living creatures a reflection of their master? Through the lion, the calf, the man, the eagle, we should perhaps understand four different expressions. A representation of strength and power in the face of the lion. A reflection of servanthood and obedience in the face of the calf. Expression of intelligence and free will in the face of a man. And a manifestation of freedom and liberty in the face of, that is, the flying eagle. But these four attributes also reminds us of the Messiah as described in the gospel, as the gospel wants us to see the same thing perhaps. The lion reminds us that he is king, and soon he will appear as the king of Judah, rising and saving Israel and the world as he is presented in the gospel of Matthew. He's going to rise in the next chapter as the king of Judah. The calf reminds us of the Messiah's servanthood. When he came, we are told that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but that is to serve. Mark 10:45. And he is the Son of Man, the warrior, yet he came as more than an ox, as Ezekiel saw. He came as a calf, like a dry root out of dry ground. And we will see him again in chapter 6. The man recalls the humanity of the Messiah, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of the person of God. Two, he came actually as a man, as it is represented in the Gospel of Luke, where we read how Yeshua was tired, how he was hungry, how he lived like a man to experience what we're going through so that he may be called our Savior and Comforter. And the flying eagle reminds us of the freedom of movement and fullness of flying, and suggests the divinity of the Messiah that is shown in the Gospel of John, where the divinity of the Messiah is brought right in the outset of by saying that the Word was God. And now see what they are saying at the time. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come. But see how they know their master so well. This short prayer is divided into three threes. See the screen. Holy, holy, holy. Three times. One for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Ruach HaKodesh. Lord God Almighty, the three names defining the full triunity of the Echad. You know that the rabbis have seen it also in the Zohar. And they said, when they are three, they are one. Here they are. Who was, who is, and who is to come. Here we see the eternity of God, recalling the three essential and unique divine attributes of his omnipresence, omniscience, and omniscience. They are the three great divisions completing time, past, present, and future as well. And if they are always saying these words, it is because they do not stop being amazed of what they learn and what they see of God as he reveals himself slowly and slowly to his creatures. And these words are also found in Isaiah 6. They're also found actually in the daily prayers of the Jewish people in the synagogue, because it impacted them. The daily prayers in the synagogue are composed of three services, morning, afternoon, and evening, together with an additional service on Shabbat and festivals. And in this prayer, they have what they call the Kedusha, which they repeat, holy, 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 three times a day. And Isaiah gives us one more information about these angels, which complete the pictures. It seems that we also witness the very same scene. The first thing that both John and Isaiah saw, despite the noise, as soon as they went there, if you remember, the first thing they saw was the Lord sitting on his throne. Both saw the same angels as well. And they both noticed that they had six wings. See how Isaiah puts it. And above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Amen. But why are these angels covering their feet and their faces? Why do you think? They are covering their faces because of the holiness of God. And because they are so close to his throne, this holiness must be so powerful that they cannot see him face to face. However, We're not told, by the way, that the 24 elders hid their faces. For when Paul said, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but later face to face," Paul perhaps made allusion to the nearness of the believer to God in heaven, for he himself again did go there, as we read. And he heard inexpressible things in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And perhaps, like John, he saw these 24 thrones right next to God and understood that they were not angels but redeemed men. This same expression in Greek, face to face, is used in the Septuagint in Genesis 32:30 when Jacob saw God face to face. Now, I would like to conclude with the name of these angels. Isaiah names them. They are seraphim. Seraphim, twice. Isaiah chapter 6, 2 and verse 6. A while ago, I tried to answer an S at the end of the word seraphim because it's plural. But my word document would not let me until I realized that seraphim is a Hebrew word that was not translated. It stayed in Hebrew, but it is always in plural. And I was so impressed with Microsoft. So what can we learn from this verse? The Hebrew root seraph. Seraph means to burn. So the seraphim are, in a way, the burning ones. So they are on fire for God and always. But more appropriately, some rabbis, like Kim Ki, calls them the bright and shining angels. Because these good angels were so close to the source of light, who is God, that they reflected more of his light. Such will be the nature, by the way, of the rewards of the believers. When Daniel spoke of the resurrection of the believers, he said in Daniel 12:3, he says, "Those who are wise shall what? Shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn away to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." Now, this must be among the most encouraging verse or verses, that is, we have in the Bible. See, God will always bring a touch of grace, and here he does it so generously. Here he tells us about the future condition of those, again, who work for God. I want to go back to this. Those who overcomers, who do not lose faith in times of trial. And see how the Spirit describes the nature of the rewards. It is here related to light. This is what the rewards are. Light. To reflecting God's light. It seems that the more the reward, the more we will shine. That is because we'll be closer to God. If the level of rewards translated into reflecting light, it must be the light again emanating from God. We learn from the letter of John that God is light. That is not an attribute, by the way, but more than that, this is his nature, light, pure and perfect light, white light, holiness. That is who our God is. And so it seems that the more the rewards, the closer we'll be to God, and the more we'll reflect his light. This is something to remember. Yeshua taught it in very clear terms as well. In Matthew 13:43, at the end of the parable of the wheat and the tares, he says, "Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their fathers." This is what the rewards must be about in heaven, being closer to our Creator. But see how Daniel describes these workers for God. He first says that they are wise. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. What does it mean to be wise? Sakal in Hebrew. As one lexicon puts it, this word relates to intelligent knowledge of the reason. It speaks of those who think, those who read the scriptures for themselves, who allow the Spirit to guide them, who work to understand who God is. This is what we ought to do. See now the second part of Daniel's statement about believers, verse 3. "And those who turn away to righteousness, again, like stars forever and ever." This is profound. How does one turn another to righteousness? For this is God's work. And here he calls us to partner with him to spread the word of God. And the word of God, again, this is what they need today in the world. We need to bring in these prophecies and tell them what is coming so very soon. There's a choice, either to go through this earth and the tribulation as we're going to see, or to go up there and to see these soothing colors that we have. Let us pray. I will begin with the Kedusha and followed by an ancient Jewish prayer. Kadosh, 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 Adonai Tzevaot, Melol Kol Haaretz Okay, for the holy, 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 the Lord of hosts, the entire world is filled with his glory. Baruch kevod Adonai mimkomo. Blessed is the glory of the Lord in this place. Imloch Adonai le'olam Eloyayich Tzion le'dor vador. Hallelujah. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, from generation to generation. Hallelujah. Let us give praise to God on high. He is blessed and is to be blessed, for no one is like you, for you are great in holiness and doing wonderful things. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, and the God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who is great, powerful, and revered. The God Most High, the Lord of heaven and earth, our shield and the shield of our fathers, the God who increases our faith. Blessed are you, O Lord, for you are the shield of Abraham, and you are the shield of everyone who humbly comes to you with a repentant heart. Today, Lord, we've seen how the action of some disturbs you. But there again, you are so loving, so patient, not wanting that anyone should perish. Bless each and everyone present here, and each and everyone who are listening to this prayer. Put your healing hand upon those who are sick and who are looking for you for healing. Rest your spirit on those who are hurting, who are going through difficult times. Give them hope and joy, and rest your salvation on those who desire it, but who are not saved. Let them come and see who Yeshua is, and let them say that they now believe in him, so they be richly blessed for eternity. And for the congregation, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord makes his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Shalom Ariel is a daily radio program emphasizing the Jewish perspective of Scripture. God is not through dealing with Israel, nor will he renege any of the promises he has made to her. Our teacher for this program, Jacques Isaac Gabizon, is a Messianic Jewish believer and Messianic leader at Beth Ariel Congregation right here in Montreal. If you've been encouraged by the messages, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-888-685-5902, or you may write us at info@BethAriel.ca. You are also welcome to join us for our Saturday morning services. We are located at 6297 Monkland Boulevard, corner of Madison in NDG. The message is given in English, but we do offer simultaneous translation into French and Russian. Services begin at 11 a.m. We have Shabbat school for children of all ages, up to and including teens. You may also download audio messages from our website at bethariel.ca and enjoy other in-depth teaching from Jacques Isaac. If you would like to sign up for informative newsletters, log on to our website and add your name to our email list. Shalom Ariel is a listener-supported program. If you have it on your heart to donate, it will be a great blessing for the continuing ministry and outreach of Beth Ariel. Thank you, and Shalom Shalom.
You will have compassion on us and forgive all our iniquity. You will cast all of our sin into the depths of the sea. You will have compassion on us and forgive all our iniquity. You will cast all of our sin into the sea. Your love is unchanging to Abraham. Your covenant evermore shall stand. Your truth shall reign sovereign in Israel. Messiah, come back to your land. Messiah.